morning, everybody. How we doing? All right. So awesome to have all you guys here this morning and gals to be a part of Faith Church. Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday morning, man. Such an awesome day. And I know in the summer it's really hard because there's like 1,000 things that we can do and practically the only time we can do them. And so I thank y'all for making us Faith Church a part of your Sunday morning and making it a priority in your lives to come and be a part of this, whether you're here in person or maybe you're vacationing, maybe you're out, maybe you're far away from here, maybe you don't even live in our area or you're watching online with us. So thank you for being here with us wherever you happen to be. We want to make sure you're welcome here. So if you are new here in person, make sure Miss Dawn should have already started hooking you guys up with welcome bags and making sure you guys feel nice and welcome here. But if you didn't get one, you will get one before you leave, hopefully. And also, if you're online, we got a gift for you as well. So if you're saying, hey, man, this is my first time checking you out online, we want to welcome you, okay? So make sure you let us know. We're going to give you a free ebook there, too. So don't miss out. Don't be in the shadows and be like, I don't know, I just want to check it out. Hey, let yourself be known so we can gift you this free, great book that we want you to have. And so don't miss out on that opportunity. Also, if you're joining us with kids, we always want to welcome you and welcome your kids into our Faith Kids experience. Downstairs, we have an awesome team, and they are just ready to dive in with your children and ready to get into so many fun things. I get to be a part of some of the planning meetings, and I'm always like, man, they're going to have so much more fun downstairs than we're going to have up here, right? They get to play with bubbles, and they've got games they get to play, and they're doing glow sticks, and it's just crazy stuff they're doing down there, and I'm like, man, we need to do some of that up here. And then I think about all stodgy adults, like, oh, we don't need to play kids' games, right? All right, Dave would be with me. Me and Dave would be playing. I know we would. I don't know about the rest of y'all. Anyway, but at any rate, they're going to have a great time down there. Also, if you're online, we want to make sure you know you don't miss out on that too, okay? So we have a link on our Facebook page that you can go to, and it's for you and your family to work through. So you can just send it to your kids' devices. They can watch and share, or you can watch it all together, maybe even after this, whatever timeline works out for you. Just know that's available for you to participate in. So if you miss a week downstairs and want to keep up with the flow of the content, it's right there for you, all right? So don't miss out on that opportunity. The other things we want to highlight here at Faith going on, we got so much going on this summer. My goodness, it's packed. Yesterday, we had a Faith Work Day, and it was a great experience. We all worked, right? There was good workers. Everybody say yes if you worked. Yeah, right, because I want you to be enthused so others will want to come do it, right? So we had a good time downstairs. We moved everything out of the kids' room. We started repainting the ceiling yesterday, and we got it done. It was a couple of hours. I think it took way more work getting it ready and then putting everything back than it did to actually paint the ceiling. But we got it knocked out. And then this week, I'm super excited because we're going to start on the walls and keep working through. And the beautiful thing about this isn't so much the fact that things are getting updated in the church. The beautiful thing about what we do here for Faith Work Days is the connections that we make. I heard some things yesterday when we were working that I never would have heard in any other setting, right? And I won't say that's good or bad or not, but I heard some things. It was good, in my opinion anyway, to be able to reflect, to be able to sit and work with others with your hands and get into things and not be judged by like how good or bad your work is, because none of them said how bad I did. So I know they're not going to tell you that too. All right. So I appreciate that. No judgment zone while you're working. So if you want to come and participate, we need people to help roll the walls out, right? We're going to be painting the walls. And so we encourage you to come out the next work day, which is Saturday, July 16th at 9 a.m. All right. It's just 9 until we're done, which yesterday was around noon, so not too long. And so we want to make sure that's available if you want to jump in with us. Don't miss that chance. All right. Pizza next time in the morning. Are we going to do morning pizza? Cold pizza? I don't know. We'll work it out. Depends on how long we're there. We did have donuts. Thankfully, somebody brought donuts because I totally dropped the donut ball. So next week or next time, we'll have something to eat, something round to eat we're going to have, all right? So don't worry about that. All right. So other round things to eat, Faith Community Cookout's coming Monday, July 11th. So not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, Monday, July 11th at 6 p.m. is our Faith Free. Let me just emphasize free community cookout. So you're looking for a hamburger, you're looking for a hot dog, you're like, man, I don't want to grill one myself. I'm busy. I got stuff to do. Come out at 6 p.m. Monday, July 11th as we do it together and invite somebody. All right. We're going to be right out front of the church. You can come. You can stay as long as you like. You can grab and go, or you can come and sit, but make sure you bring somebody with you as we eat and hang out and just enjoy this beautiful summer together. Prayerfully, it won't rain because it hadn't all summer long, so why should it start now, right? So maybe we'll scoot by on that one. Also, the rest of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if you got kids, this is an awesome opportunity for you to bring them to our kids club that we're doing that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 5 to 6:30, and it's right behind the Pownell Firehouse right here on Church Street and corner of Church and 346, all right? So if you come off Main, you just go right down there and you'll see it. And it's the field back there, big open field. They're going to play games. They're going to do stories. They're going to do a whole hour and a half packed full of fun and great times to hang out. So all ages are invited, youngest to oldest, whatever you got, come and be a part of it. It's going to be a great time. And hey, if you're like me and you're like, man, my kids are running around just bored crazy, right? Even when they go and do outside and they play for hours, they come back in and say, well, what are we going to do now? I'm like, I don't know. You just spent time out there. Anyway, so you want to occupy their time for about an hour and a half on the weekdays, 5 to 6:30, what Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, July 12th through the 14th. That's the time to do it. It's going to be a great opportunity for them and for you. Maybe get a little bit of a break. Hey, that exists, I guess, all right, for some of us anyway. All right, the last thing I always want to highlight is we're looking forward to the end of July, July 30th. We're doing a special new thing, typically the town fair. Pownell had a town fair. Anybody remember the town fair from Pownell? All right, remember that? All right, some of you do. Okay, so it stopped due to COVID, right? And so now we're bringing it back in a slightly different form, all right? It's not quite the whole big event that it was. We're going to condense it, and we're calling it Celebrate Pownell Day. So Saturday, July 30th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., there's going to be a free town picnic that we want to invite you to. There's going to be games. There's going to be a cornhole tournament. There's going to be bounce houses. There's going to be an obstacle course you can run. There's going to be a dunk tank. There's going to be food. There's going to be vendors. There's going to be trucks. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff. All right. So this is a big, 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 big deal. And we want you to be able to, again, invite people to say, hey, man, come out with me Saturday, July 30th, anytime from 11 to 2. All right, we want you to be there. We want you to jump in and participate and make it a big, huge event so that we can continue to build it up year after year. But this is the inaugural year. We want to celebrate Pownell together as fellow people who live and work and breathe and exist in this area. Even if you're around our community, come and take part and see what Pownell's all about. And so we want you to remember to put that on your calendar, Saturday, July 11th, or July 30th, excuse me. All right, last thing. All the things we're doing, you know, cookouts, Pownell Day, all this other crazy stuff we got going on is all driven by generosity. And each week, I always talk about giving because I want you to be able to jump in on what God is doing, right? It's not about me trying to get your money because I don't need your money. God doesn't need your money. But what he's looking for is you to respond to the generosity that he's given you. I was looking at this. I was thinking about this in my life. I was thinking about all the things that I'm given, right? All the things that I work, right, a little, but so I work, but all the blessings that I have, I mean, my kids have good health, right? I'm not broke, right, all the time, sometimes, but not all the time, right? I have enough to be able to go and pick up a couple of special things at the store. In the grand scheme of things, I'm really rich, and I think sometimes we take this for granted, but what it really goes back to is reflecting on how generous, how good our God is. And what he's encouraging us to do by being generous himself is by participating in that generosity, right? What I love about our church, one of our key values is generosity, because it's not just about your money. It's about every part of your life. It's about how generous are you with your time, right? How frequently you're saying, well, I've got to get this done for myself. Or how often are you saying, man, I've got stuff I need to do, but I need to be helping that neighbor next door. I need to be helping Dave down the street. I need to be doing something. I need to be engaging with others. I need to be generous with my time. I need to be generous with my ability, right? Yesterday, Faith Work Days, people rolling out paint. They were much more skilled than I was, making it look a lot better. That's being generous with ability. And also finances, that God provides all these things. And so what are we going to do with them? Are we going to keep them? Are we going to hoard them? I guarantee you that's the way to death, right? To death in your finances, to keep it to yourself. If you think, man, I'm just going to hoard, I'm going to keep, I'm going to build so I can be secure, the last thing you're going to be is secure because you're never going to have enough. You're never going to have enough. And so what happens is when you flip that generosity switch around is you're saying, I'm going to rely on God to provide my daily needs. And so whatever I get, I'm going to give away. And as I give it away, he's going to give me more. And I'm not going to have to worry about, man, do I have enough to get to the end of the week? It doesn't matter. God's going to give me what I need to get through, and he's going to give me what I need to bless somebody else. And so this is just one opportunity on Sunday mornings. This is one. There's opportunities every day of your life, I would guarantee, if you look hard enough. But today is an opportunity to give back, to be generous. And so if you love to do that, I hope you love to do that. I love to do it. If you love to do that, you can give physically. The baskets are in the front and in the back. Or you can give online, faithchurchvt.com, faithchurchvt.com. Press the give button, and you can give any day of the week, anytime. You can schedule it. It's really easy. We make it that way because we want you to be able to give and be a part of all the stuff we have going on, as it all funnels back into this community. Celebrate Panel Day is thousands of dollars of you giving, right? Free community cookouts is thousands of hamburgers, hopefully, of us giving back. It's all this stuff that's generated by you. And I'm so grateful for you guys and all that you do to make it possible. I'm so proud to be a part of this church and your generosity and just be a part, small part of that. And so thank you for giving. And if you'd love to give more, here's your opportunity this morning. Now, as we're ready to transition today, I want to thank you so much again for being here, for being a part of this. As I mentioned earlier, maybe I didn't mention earlier, but hey, I'm going to mention it now. We're kicking off something new this month, all right? Everybody likes new things, right? We like new things. We're Americans, right? We love new things. We don't like old things. We're kicking off something new. Last week, we wrapped up a series called How to Deal, right? So if you missed any of that, there's a podcast, there's YouTube, there's a whole bunch of things for you to check out. And this month, we're starting a new thing called Swimming Upstream. All right, swimming upstream is what it's called, living a Jesus-centered life in a self-centered culture, all right? That's what we're going to be exploring for the next 4 weeks, roughly. Now, we're not only starting this new series, but we're working it through it in a new way, all right? At least a different way for us here at Faith. There was a TV show, I was thinking about this week, a TV show called Wonder Years. Anybody remember the Wonder Years? Yeah, all right, some of you maybe grew up in that era. I watched some reruns, I think it was, maybe because I don't remember when the show came out originally. I think they relaunched it probably. I think there's a new Wonder Years out now. Now, I don't remember anything about the show except for the theme song. Anybody remember the theme song to Wonder Years? Yeah, I have a little help. Oh, no, that's all I'm going to sing, all right? So I don't remember anything else about that theme song except for that one line, and I had to look it up. So apparently the Beatles wrote this song. Didn't know that. There's a fun fact for you. But I remember the line that said, I get by with a little help from my friends. That's the line that really stuck. They repeat it in the song, so it's easy to get stuck in your head. But that's what gets stuck in my head. So for this series, I'm getting by with not a little help, a lot of help from my friends, all right? So this time, it's not going to be me rolling through a series. I'm going to kick us off this week. But next week, whether he's ready or not, is Ron Dwyer. And then the week after that is going to be Dave Merritt. And then the week after that is going to be Walt Burns. And so we're going to spread this thing out. And what I'm hoping to accomplish with this, or what's going to happen as we're doing this, and I'm so glad you guys agreed and maybe even just did it whether you wanted to or not, is that what I'm hoping is that it's not only going to equip these guys to be better communicators to help be able to spread the gospel, not only on a stage, but in person, wherever they are, but also to be a blessing to everyone else who's listening to hear different voices, to hear different perspectives, right? Have you ever been in that situation with your family where your mom was just, or dad maybe, was just on you all the time? And then eventually it just started to go, wah, 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 wah. It was like peanuts, right? Just wah, 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 wah. That's me, all right? Eventually, you're going to start tuning me out. It's just going to happen. It's natural. It's human to be able to do that. And so you see Pastor Jason, you say, great, I've already heard everything he has to say because I've been here long enough, and he just repeats the same stuff anyway, so I can just toop, turn him off, right? But when Dave gets up here, Ron or Walt, you're like, okay, I don't really know these guys. I don't know they're boring yet, so I'm going to listen to them, right? They're not going to be boring, but I'm just saying, that's the way mine works. And so you get to be blessed, they get to be blessed, I get to be blessed by helping try to work with them to work through this process. And so I'm super excited as we go through swimming upstream together and hear different voices in the process. So now to get us started this morning, because I've already talked way too long, to get us started this morning, I got a question for us to work through because I want to hear from you guys each and every single week. And I want you to hear from each other. And so it's a crazy question. Some weeks are easy, some weeks are hard, some weeks are off the wall, and today it's off the wall. So today the question is this. If you could choose your last words, what would they be? Let me repeat that. If you could choose your last words, it's the last things you're ever going to say to anybody or anything. If you could choose your last words, what would they be? Now, I know this is a little morbid. I get it. It's a little bit interesting exercise. Just power through with me, all right? So what we're going to do is we're going to take a five-minute break, not 10, five, five-minute break, and then I want to encourage you to get up. If you're in person, I want you to mingle. If you see somebody you haven't seen in a while, say, hey, what were your last words? That's going to be kind of weird. Maybe you haven't seen them in a while, you just say, hey. But if you've seen each other frequently, you come up and ask and answer, hey, what will your last words be? I'm just curious. Let me lean in on that. And then feel free. There's tea. I can see it from here. I'm super excited because I'm from Georgia. I love tea. All right? It might not be sweet enough for me, but it's probably okay for you. So you get tea. There's coffee. There's a whole bunch of stuff for you to participate in, jump in on. Grab it. Refill, refresh, talk with each other, even online, and we're going to come back and discuss it together. What will your last words be? Take five. Let's come back after this. All right, here we go. Hopefully you can see me online. I don't know if we adjusted the camera yet or not, so I don't know if Jaden might have to do that right now. That's fine. We're super professional here, by the way, if you don't know that. So, yeah. Not really, but that's okay. One thing I forgot, my wife does such a great job. She knows me so well that I don't remember anything unless it's written down, like put right in front of my face, right? And so she wrote down, hey, July goals. So I totally forgot to mention this earlier. So if you've been here for a while, maybe since, when did we start this, February or March? I don't know what month we started, but we started a thing called Faith Life Goals. And so we started putting them on the door here physically in person. So if you're here and you turn your head to the left, you'll see that on the door, there's lots of these little note cards. And what we've been doing is that once a month, what I encourage you to do, and I've forgotten to do for the past 2 months, let me be straight with you, is that we're supposed to be writing down life goals that change each month as we're working on small changes in our lives to work to bigger changes in our lives, right, through the course of 2022. And so hopefully you've been doing that. If you're like me and you totally fell off the bandwagon, feel free to jump back on for July. This is a great time to do it. And we encourage you to do this, one, because, hey, I hope at least some positive life changes in your life. We're all about here at Faith Church, not just talking about Jesus, but looking at how it really impacts our life, how the teachings and the calling of Christ just shapes every single thing about us, even how much we weigh, all right? It even comes down to that, or how much you spend your money. All that stuff's affected by that. And what happens is sometimes we think it's all just up here in our head or whatever, but you have to put it down on paper sometimes and say, hey, July, I want to walk, half a mile more this month than I did last, whatever. So I encourage you for July, if you haven't, or maybe it's your first month you're doing, it's totally okay. Grab a index card, grab a pen. We have them over here on this side on the stage, and write out a faith life goal for your life this month for July, all right? And then what happens when you get to the end of the month, you're going to say, yep, did that, bam, awesome. And nobody's going to, check you because I don't know what your life, I might know, but I'm not going to say, hey, have you did your life goal this month, right? That's kind of weird. But I will encourage you to be on the honor system here and say, yeah, I did that. And so if you've done it, then you can just fold it up and you can put it in that little container that's on the stage. And then what happens in November is we're going to take them all out and we're going to say, man, so put your name on it, by the way. And we're going to say, man, Anna, she did amazing, right? She did 10 months of life goals. She was just super on top of it. She just got it down to, it's perfect. And man, she just hit all her things. And so we're going to pull names out. And it's not going to be because you did them all. It's going to be a random draw. But anybody who's done any of them, 1, 10, anything in between, you're going to get your name drawn out and you're going to get a special prize at the end of the year. All right. So it's not just about, well, I did it. Yay, me. It's going to be a, hey, let me celebrate. Let's celebrate together all the things you accomplished this year by giving you something special, all right? And we'll let you know that something special is a little later on. But there's going to be a range of gifts to give away. So I encourage you to do some life goaling with us. You can do it online, too. You could submit them on our email, faithchurchvt@gmail.com. Say, put your name, life goal, and then when you did it, send an email back saying, hey, I did it, or whatever. Or you can PM us on our Facebook page, too. Whatever works easier for you. All right, so now I got that out of the way, and my wife won't harass me from screwing that up. So let's jump into, she would never do that, by the way. We're going to jump into what we're talking about. If you could choose your last words, what would they be? All right, so I don't have Rich running around today because he's busy vacationing. How dare he? So we're going to jump into it out loud. So you can say it out loud. I'll repeat it for those online who can't hear us in person. Last words, what do you got? Anybody got something? That's pretty hard. There we go, Julie in the back. Tell your son that you love him. That's a great one. I love that. Anyone else? That's a good start. Go ahead, Walt.
Well, first, I thought touchdown Tennessee was
great. Touchdown Tennessee. And then the second option is?
I want to say yes.
All right.
Somebody asked me for something. I want to be able to say yes.
Gotcha. All right, there at the end, to be able to give something away even at the end through you. All right, absolutely. Love that, Walt. Who else? Ron had one. What you got? Lord, forgive me. That's a great three words to say at the end. Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you, Ron. Anyone else? Those are good.
I ate the whole thing.
That might be why you're saying last words. All right, let's go ahead and go to Leo. Jesus loves you. I love that. Good three words there, too. All right. Anyone else?
Please take me home.
Take me home. Here we go. Love that. It's like a Johnny Cash song. All right, here we go. Anybody else? Those are good last words. Anybody else got some last words? I know it's tough, right? It's really hard. As I was writing this question out, I said, man, I don't know if I'm going to get any responses here just because it's so good. What you got, brother? Awesome, man. I love that. Fantastic. Yes. So it's really tough. Those are all good responses. And it's a crazy exercise, I think, because who wants to think about dying first, right? And then who wants to think about last words when you're dying, too, because that's the whole other thing, right? So as I was thinking about this, my first response would be good night. That's what I was hoping, because I want to die in my sleep. That'd be my first preference. So that'd be before I died, right? But that's what my first preference was. But then I thought that was like cheating, right? So I was like, if I can't die in my sleep, what's my second option, right? So if I was aware of what was happening, I hope I would say something like, you know, thank you, Jesus, for an amazing life. But I'm really afraid I would say something dumb like, right? I don't want that to be my last word. Maybe it will. I don't know. At any rate, I looked up a few famous people's last words, by the way. I was just curious, you know, and this stuff is everywhere online because the internet is full of dumb information. So here we go. We got some last words from some quote-unquote famous people. Anybody want to hear those? You like want to engage in this with me? All right, so I only got like five, all right, so it's not a lot. The first one's Bob Marley, right? Bob Marley, great singer, awesome life, right? The last words he said, money can't buy life. Money can't buy life. Great words from Bob Marley. Appreciate that. Karl Marx, right? This is a famous dude. Karl Marx, he said, which is so ironic, but anyway, I appreciated this. He said, last words are for fools who haven't said enough. I think that's a lot of words for somebody who said last words are for foolish, right? I don't know. So Karl Marx said that. Jack Daniel. Anybody interested in what Jack Daniel said? All right, maybe some good guesses. Cheers, right? He said, one last drink, please. That's what he said. All right, can you believe that? Groucho Marx, a famous comedian way back when. This is an old, old comedian. He said, this is no way to live, right? That's a pretty good line at the end, all right? So why the focus on last words? What in the world are we talking about today that could possibly lead us to talking about last words, right? How does this make sense? Well, what you find here when you start digging into the Bible, right? And this is what we do every week, right? We're not just up here giving a motivational speech. What you find when you're digging into the Bible is that each book or letter is written under different circumstances, right? They're written in very specific circumstances and for a very specific reason, all right? What we have in the Bible here really isn't just a collection of random sayings, right? It's not a bunch of spiritual teaching that's kind of like up in the air and about things after this world, right? That's not what we have. What we have is a collection of scrolls, right? From ancient times. We have history written down. You've got beautiful poetry all through the Bible. You have great prose. You've got narratives, these awesome character-driven stories, right? You have letters here that we're going to cover today. And all this spans thousands of years of human history. And it's really incredible because what you find as you're reading through, you're thinking, man, thousands of years of history. How could all these stories connect? But they really do. And it's amazing. Tell one unifying story. And it points to Christ. It points forward to him and then back to him in all that we are reading. Which brings us to the series we're doing today in Swimming Upstream, where we're going through the book, rather letter in this case, of 2 Timothy, all right? So if you have your Bible, I'm going to be going through a lot of this part of 2 Timothy chapter 1. I've got chapter 1. The guys are going to pick up different chapters during the next few weeks. So we're just going to dive into chapter 1 today a little bit. And what we find is we have a letter, all right, a letter from the Apostle Paul. Now, for those of you born after 1990, here's what a letter is, all right? Let me clarify this for you. Because I think the last time, I was thinking about this morning, the last time I actually wrote a letter was, I think, 2001. I was in boot camp, and there was no way to communicate to anybody besides through letters. And so I felt like I was in ancient times as I was writing these letters out and mailing them back and forth. And so here's what a letter is, right? Letter's a piece of paper, first, if you know what that is, written to somebody or a group of someones. So it's like a group text, but more formal, all right? That's kind of my analogy I had for us this morning. And what we have here in 2 Timothy is a letter from the Apostle Paul, all right? Now, Paul, he was this really devout Jew. I mean, he was a staunch Orthodox Jew, and he really persecuted Jesus followers because they were like a breakoff from the Jewish religion. He was chasing them down until he had a life-changing experience on a road with the resurrected Jesus that just changed his life forever. The whole trajectory just was a completely different direction, forced him to rethink everything. And he became one of the biggest, most devout Jesus followers there were in his day, really of all time. And he spent his whole life from that point on leading his life to Jesus and leading others to Christ as well. And so what we have here in 2 Timothy is we have a letter from this guy who's really devout Jesus follower, living a totally different life than he had before. And he's getting near the end of his life. Now, he can be pretty confident that he's getting near the end. And say, how does he know he's getting near the end? Is he getting old? No, not really. What he's doing is he's a prisoner. He's a political prisoner in Rome, and he's on death row, all right? He's on death row as he's writing this letter. He doesn't know exactly when his time's going to be up, but he knows it's going to be coming, right? Sooner rather than later. So the time he has left as he's sitting in prison on death row, knowing that he's dead for good for certain, he's going to write some famous last words. So he chooses to spend these last words not on an autobiography, talking about all the great things he did or went through. Not on a manifesto, just writing about all the important things that someone should know after him. But writing this letter to one specific person. It's Timothy. That's why it's called 2 Timothy. There you go. Easy, right? So we're going to spend the next few minutes this morning finding out why he wrote it to Timothy, what exactly he has to say to him that's so important, and how it applies to us 2,000 years later. Really fascinating how this works. As we swim upstream together, all right? So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, read, listen, do whatever you need to do with us as we get into 2 Timothy chapter 1 today, all right? I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 to kick us off, then I'm going to pause and break down a little bit, and we'll just keep on rolling. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. So what we have here in every ancient Greco-Roman letter, which is what this is you have a very formal greeting, and this is no exception. Unlike a text, you can learn a lot from a letter greeting here, all right? And that's what we got here. Paul opens this up by identifying himself as an apostle. Say, what in the world is that, right? It means sent one who is sent by Jesus, right? But he's not choosing to this is life for himself. He's not saying, oh yeah, I'm an apostle. I know that I want to pursue Jesus, and so I'm going to say I'm sent by. No, Jesus called him out and said, I'm sending you on a whole different path. And so he's saying that I'm an apostle. I've been chosen by Christ, by the will of God alone, not by my own choice, right? Paul's life was going one direction, going with the flow of culture. All right, he was very famous. He was known all over for making sure he's reinforcing the traditions and the history and the culture. And now his life is flipped upside down by Christ. The life, death, and resurrection changes him completely, and he's going a whole new way. All right, swimming a whole different direction. Now, as I already mentioned this, he's writing here to Timothy, right, who he addresses here as his beloved child. Now, just to clarify, from what we know in history, Timothy isn't Paul's actual child, all right, just so you know this, all right? But they do share this incredibly strong bond, one that Paul sheds some light on here in verses 3 through 5. So let's read this together. He says, I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly. Remember you constantly. In my prayers, just day and night, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, and I be filled with joy. And I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure it dwells in you as well. See, Paul and Timothy, if you don't know the history, I'll give you a little background. They'd worked together for years before this, in a town called Ephesus. It was a Greek town, big city, all right? They shared meals together. They shared conversation together. They shared a conviction together, and they built a trust as they lived and taught others about Christ. But Paul's life was a life that was constantly on the move. He was never sitting still. Yet Paul was not one to be in one place for very long. And so what happened was, after a few years, Paul moved on. And he left Timothy. He said, Timothy, I want you to stay here. I want you to teach. I want you to preach. I want you to shepherd these people, right? I want you to pastor them. That's what pastors do, is shepherd people, right? So I want you to do this. So you're going to stay here while I go on. And now here at the end, Paul's remembering those times back. He's saying, man, I remember, Timothy. You remember when we shared those stories together? I remember your face even when we were getting ready to leave and I had to go and you had to stay and you were just, tears were pouring down your face and it just moved me. And I was just remembering you night after night, day after day. Now remember, 2,000 years ago, they didn't have FaceTime, they didn't have text, they didn't have phone calls. You're not doing any instant communication. So he doesn't know what Timothy's doing, right? He gets some letters and some updates for some people randomly, but he doesn't know the person, right? So imagine a friend that you may have grown up with for like 18 years and you just invested everything in them. You ever had that really good friend? That person you're like, man, I can trust them in whatever I got. If I need something, I just go right back to them. They got me. I got them. They know me in and out, right? It's just this person, this really great bond you have with them. And then you had to leave. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's hard, isn't it? It's hard leaving those we love. Really hard. And this is not a romantic thing that Paul and Timothy have. This is just a personal friendship bond. It's just an incredibly strong bond they have. And so I appreciate that as Paul is writing his last words, he's pouring his heart out to this deep friend and saying, man, I hope you're doing great. Man, I remember so much. I remember those tears. I want to experience that bond again with you. I want to see you and give you just a giant hug, right? And just remember and talk about all those good times. Man, if you don't have somebody that in your life right now, I want to encourage you here in this moment. If you don't have a Paul in your life or a Timothy in your life that shares this deep bond together, find somebody, all right? Make time to find somebody like this. Find somebody that, like Paul, loves Timothy, right? Because Paul is all about this. I mean, I remember all these things, and I love you. I want to see you again. But he does some interesting things here, right? He remembers Timothy. He thanks God, right? He's like, this is like a father and son bond here. He keeps praying for him, not knowing how things are going. He's recalling this time that he invested in him. And I'm sure Timothy's reading this back, and I'm sure he's reflecting back too, because, you know, Paul wasn't the biggest man physically, but he had just this incredibly commanding presence, right? He was this inspiring figure. And I'm sure Timothy, when he was around Paul, took some comfort in having that person around, to have that confident, inspiring, bold Paul around who said all the right things at the right times, right? He had all the answers, it seemed like. And Timothy didn't, right? You ever been that person? You've been the person that's timid, unsure. It's like, man, I don't really know, but I got this good friend, and he says, I mean, he might not be, you know, perfect. He's not. He says some messed up things, but most of the time, he's got good answers. Right? And I feel good when I'm around him because I know I can rely on him, right? And so this is the bond that Timothy and Paul are having, because Timothy's got some doubt. He's got some indecision. And he's like, man, I remember Paul. Man, he was so good. He's saying all the right things. Now, we don't know all that Paul and Timothy had in common or bonded over, but the one thing here that stands the test of time that Paul reflects back on the most was the faith they shared. It was faith. You see, Paul's faith was passed down from his ancestors, right? He said, I remember, I thank God, as did my ancestors. He's remembering those who came before him, and he's reflecting on Timothy's ancestors. He says, I have ancestors that passed my faith to me, and then you have ancestors that passed your faith to you, right? Paul says, I remember it. I remember that trust you had in Jesus. Your grandmother had it, your mother had it, now you have it, and it's not just any kind of faith. It's a lasting, sincere faith. Timothy's father had been Greek, not Jewish, but his grandmother and his mother were Jewish. And at some point, they heard the gospel of Jesus and followed, and it led it to follow Christ. And so they raised Timothy up in that faith. One of the benefits of people who live long lives, I think, is the ability to see the impact of choices. You ever thought about this? You ever thought about all the decisions you're making in your life in the moment that you're making them? Have you ever had this conversation with yourself and said, man, I wonder what's going to happen when or if I take this job, right? I'm coming to Jamaica to America. What's going to happen, right? What's the impact of that decision long term, right? Right. If I'm taking a new job, or if I'm picking up a new contract, or whatever the case is, how is that going to affect me 1 year, 2 years, 10 years down the road? How is that going to change my family? And if you say, well, I don't want to think about that, I think we do, whether we verbalize it or not, right? We don't take things flippantly, especially if you have children, right? You're thinking of the people after you. You're thinking of your kids and grandkids and saying, man, if I'm going to be a farmer, right, how's that going to affect my kids? Are they going to be farmers too? I don't know. And so we think about these decisions in the moment, but the hard thing is you just can't know in the moment. There's no answer. We just can't know it. It's impossible. So the benefit of time, the gift of time, is the ability to look back. And so what Paul is doing here is that he's looking back and he's saying, do you know the impact that your grandmother Lois had? She's mentioned nowhere else in the Bible. Nowhere else. Just here And it's about our faith. He's saying, do you know what the impact that your grandmother had on you and your mother had on you, right? How they changed your life. So I think one thing we need to reflect on when we're reading through this is, do you know the impact that your decisions have on your life and the life of those around you, right? I think it's hard to see in the moment, for good or for bad, but it's there. It's there. And I think what I struggle with is that sometimes it's harder to see, or it's rather, it's easier to see the bad things, isn't it? It's easier to see generational lostness, especially in our community. It's easy for me to see people who were abused and now abuse and are teaching the kids the same thing. It's easy for me to see people who are addicted who pass addiction. It's easy to see for people who are hurt and broken in relationships that pass those relationships down and break the others beyond them too. And we just reliving the patterns of the one that came before. And so it's easy to see generational lostness, I think. I think it's real hard to see the effects of generational faith, at least at times. But I want to encourage you, look at the impact on someone like Timothy, his grandmother and mother had on him, right? How they passed that faith down. Now, faith isn't inherited. I don't want to mistake this, right? This isn't something you just get because you're born into it. That's not how faith works. Faith is trust. It's an earned, learned thing. But faith can be and should be accepted from somebody else, right? Some of you may be here today because someone modeled a life of faith to you. Right? Can you think back over your life and say, man, somebody in my life had a strong, sincere faith that I might not have understood it at the time, but now I'll look back and I'm like, man, they really shaped who I am and why I believe what I believe. You have an impact. Your life makes an impact. I will guarantee it. Every action, inaction, reaction is couched in values and ethics that are derived from belief and trust. And each decision creates this ripple effect across generations and across communities, for good or for bad. And your example of a life of faith can make a difference between life and death for somebody else. Now, that's scary. That's scary because it's like, man, I've screwed up a whole lot. Nobody better make me an example for their life. But we don't get to choose that. None of us get to choose whether we're the ones making a difference or not. We are. We just are. There's all there is to it. So what are you choosing to do? What are you passing down, rather, to the next generation, whether it be your kids or people in your community, your life? Think about that. Now, Paul does something here that's interesting. It's easy for us to miss, so I'm going to reread this. He mentioned Timothy's faith twice. Now, what does that mean, right? He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt in your grandmother and your mother. I'm sure it dwells in you as well, right? I'm reminded of your sincere faith, and I'm sure it's dwelling in you too. So what's he doing here? Is he just saying it twice because he likes it so much, right? But what I think is, in the Greek, you can see the repetition is a clue that Paul isn't affirming Timothy's faith here. He's challenging it. He's challenging it. And we can confirm that by looking at verses 6 and 7. So it's going to be up on the screen. He says, for this reason, all right, I know you had faith passed down to you. I know that you have faith you claim for yourself. And I'm sure you're good. But let me remind you, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Why? Why say that to Timothy here, right? He's saying, I remember your faith, but let me help you remember what to do with it, essentially, right? Now, Paul isn't trying to be confrontational. Paul's got a deep love and respect for Timothy, but such a deep love and respect for Timothy isn't leaving him alone. We misinterpret that sometimes. Think, I love somebody, so I'm just going to affirm and accept everything they do. And Paul here is not doing that. It's, I love you so much, I'm not going to let you sit and cower down to the things in your life that are going to overwhelm you. All right? As you're trying to swim against the culture in your life, as you're trying to swim upstream against all the things that are doing and acting and being different than what you're trying to do, you can cower down in fear, or you can remember, one, where you came from, and two, who lives in you. He doesn't placate Timothy. He says, I remember your faith. I hope you're doing good. He challenges him. He challenges him in love. You see, Paul is likely picking up this vulnerability in Timothy. Remember, Paul's bold and inspiring, but Timothy's timid. He's unsure. He doesn't quite know what's going on, right? And so Paul challenges him to fan into flame. I love this imagery because we live in New England, right? If you're here through the winter, you know how this works, right? I got a wood stove, and I love all the flame and fire analogies in the Bible because I can really get them in my head now as I'm looking at a fire situation. So he says, fan and flame the gift of God. In other words, stoke up that fire of faith in your life, right? To reach maximum potential. That's what he's talking about here. He's saying, I know you have trust and confidence in Jesus. I know that's there, but don't let it burn out. Or don't let it be snuffed out by people around you. Stir the coals. Put more wood on. Blow on it, right? Remember. Remember where you've been. Remember what you've gone through. And remember most the Spirit of God that lives in you. Right? He doesn't say just remember what your generations passed down. He says remember who God is. Remember what the Spirit is promised to us. It's a spirit of power, of dynamite power, dynamos, it says in the Greek, of love and of self-control, not of fear. Not of fear. Paul is hearkening back here to the story of Joshua and God's people in the Old Testament, right? They had enemies they literally had to face. They were going into a new land. They had to actually literally fight people, right? To claim a space for themselves. And so God says, hey, you're not going to be able to do it, but I will drive them out. I will do this for you. Not because I want you the best for you. That comes secondary, because I want and I desire my name to be known, to be glorified, that I am the only God there is. And I'm going to show it by how I walk before you and clear out all the things in your life. And in their situation, these very literal people in their lives that were in their way, that he was going to go before them. And so he's calling them, be strong and courageous as you go into battle. Paul is hearkening back here, says, Timothy, you might be scared. You might be lonely. You might feel like you're the only one who's going upstream, but don't buy into the fear that that causes inside of you. Right? Don't buy into the fear that says, man, I'm it. I'm the only one. I'm the lone one. How can I possibly swim upstream when the current is so strong that I'm going to just be yanked back? How can I do this? By a spirit of power, love, and self-control. I was in this last Sunday, my family and I. It was like, what was it, like 93 last week? It was ridiculously hot for Vermont, right? And so I was like, man, this is the perfect time to get in the water. Get in the river. If you've been in our area, the river right down here, like an eighth of a mile from the house and from the church, is just an awesome resource. You can fish in it, although I might not eat so much out of it, but you can catch and release, right? Or you could swim in it. Just make sure you wash off after, right? There's some caveats to this, but it's okay to get in, I think. And so if you like to get in and you like to cool down, get in. I love the river. I love all rivers. I've been in lots of them. And this one's fun. And so what we did was like, man, it's really hot today. So we took some tubes, right? And the great thing about this spot is there's some rapids, right? There's just a little fast running section of water there. It's just really small, but it's really fun, because what you can do is you can take your tubes, you can blow them up, and then you just walk upstream, and then you jump in the tube, and then you let it just, when you flow downstream, it's like a fun little, you know, it's not a slow ride, it's a quick ride. It's really good. And so the kids love it, because the kids like fun things and like fast things and like it dangerous and exciting things. And so my family went, and Zeke was with us, Samarit's son, and he was with us, and everybody was having a great time. We were just zipping down and floating and just soaking it up, and it was like just perfect. It was just, oh, thank God for such a wonderful day. And it was just great, so great. Everybody was having such a good time. Until I noticed Zeke was stuck. Zeke got stuck, and he was standing up on a rock. I could see Zeke, and the river's not very deep, all right? Let me clarify this. The river is like waist deep. There's a couple places that might come up to your chest if you're like 5'10" like me. And so it's not very deep, but it was in the rapid section, and so it was a little dicey. So he's standing on this rock, and I said, what happened? Because I didn't see it. And his float had deflated. You know, and it was done. And I said, oh, man, I thought that thing might have had a leak, or maybe it popped or something. I was like, oh, man. And Zeke was just standing on this rock. Now, I had a life jacket on, right, just in case. And so I was like, you know, swim, Zeke, just get in and swim and just float down, whatever. And he's like, no, I'm just going to stay. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. So it's like, I'll come to you, right? I'll come to you. And so I get afloat and a raft, a tube, and I'm working my way upstream. Now, that's all fine and dandy until you get to this certain part of the river where the water is channeled by these rocks, and it's coming down so fast, that you're thinking, it's only, you know, thigh deep. How I can do this. I'm a man, right? I can do this. I can walk upstream. But the water tells you otherwise. So I start getting up this channel where it's running hard and running fast, and the rocks underneath aren't steady rocks. These are round river rocks instead of a little slippery, right? And so I'm trying to churn upstream, and every time I'm churning, the water's pushing me back, and my feet are slipping on these rocks. And one time I almost went all the way under, right? And I could have just stood up, but still, it was still that effect of like, I'm not in control here, right? What happens in our culture is that as Jesus followers, that's why we're calling it swimming upstream, that we are fighting against the culture in our world. There should be no clearer indication of that than this past couple of weeks as we've looked around at different things that have happened in our society. It's like, man, the Bible's teaching this one thing, right? And Jesus is calling us to this one thing. And sometimes culture is just completely different. And I'm feeling like, man, I'm the Lone Ranger just going this one direction. Now, I think that's even more magnified in our community, isn't it? Here's a fun fact for you. 98.7% of people here in Pownell are unchurched, meaning they don't come to church more, maybe. They might come once a year, but I've been here for 8 years, and I would say 98% of people don't come to church ever. Now, coming to church isn't the entry point into getting to follow Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. However, it does say there's a level of commitment there that says, I'm going to connect with others. And so to say that 98% of the people in your life around you are different than you, 98%, that's a lot of folks. So if you ever think, man, why is his life so tough? It's because you're swimming a whole different direction than 98% of people around you. That's crazy. That's a crazy number. And so it can feel like when you get in the moment that you're in that channel and it's pushing against you, and you can feel like a Timothy does. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I have the strength to swim upstream. Even if I could stand up, I don't know if I have the balance and the power to be able to push my way up. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, I know you're scared. I know it feels like you're going to get pulled under. I know that it feels like you're not going to be able to make it up to that next thing. I know that I put you in charge of people and you don't have the ability. You think, I don't know what I'm doing. Why are you putting me here, right? Why is Pastor saying, hey, why are we going to do this together? I don't have time, Ron, right? I don't have the ability, right? Dave's like, I don't know what I'm doing. You're just throwing me up there. And I just act like I know what I'm doing because that's what I do. And so, you know, we get through these thoughts in our head and saying, why? I don't know. There's a lot of doubt and insecurity. And that's okay. So Paul says, remember not who you are, but what you've received in Jesus. Remember what you've given in God, that spirit of power and love and self-control. And when you can't do it, remember, great. No, you can't. He can. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Timothy's fighting against the grain. He was outmaneuvered, outnumbered. We're like that. We're fighting against the culture. I got to keep going. I'm wearing way too long today. Verse 8, 2 Timothy 1:8 says, therefore, Paul says, therefore, remind you, you got a spirit of power, love, self-control, not fear. Therefore, don't be ashamed. Ooh. 98% of the people in your life don't believe what you believe. It's real hard to not be ashamed. And by shame, you're thinking, oh, I'm not ashamed. I come here. If you come here, right, you're already fighting. You're already standing up. You're already visible to say, I come to church. Whoa, what, you go to church? Why do you waste time going to church, right? Well, those are crazy people. Why do you do that? So you're already fighting. So I'm not ashamed. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, Paul says, right? But share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, right? See, in Timothy's day, there's this stigma, as there is today, of being associated with a crucified Messiah because it meant that you were supporting a failed criminal of the state, right? This wasn't just a spiritual belief. This was a political statement. When you put the cross around your neck, you were saying, I follow and trust in a savior who was killed by Rome as a political prisoner, who was failed, who was a revolutionary that was a loser, who died the worst death possible. I follow that guy, right? So there's a stigma because nobody else in their culture did. They're a small minority, just like we are, right? And so Timothy was facing, one, that whammy, that stigma in his city, but also the double whammy of he's trusting and following Jesus, and also this disgraced former Jew in Paul who's now sitting in political prison in Rome. So Timothy's fallen double failure, right? Timothy's fallen a failed revolutionary, and he's fallen a failed political prisoner. Paul had all these great things going for him, and now he's thrown in jail. Ooh, Paul, who are you following Paul for? He's a loser. He's in jail. Follow me. I got all this stuff going on, right? That's what Timothy's facing. He's saying, man, I don't know. I don't know. I got to have a choice. Am I going to choose the power in me, given me by the Spirit of God, living in that? Or am I going to choose to celebrate and partner with a failed revolutionary and a political prisoner sitting in jail, ready to go on death row? He has a choice. Shame or no shame. And he has to live it out. He has made that choice in three different ways, and we do too. Speech and lifestyle. I got to speed up, and I'm sorry, I'm going to talk fast. Speech and lifestyle is one way we choose shame or choose to proclaim Jesus, right? What you say and what you do, affirms either your life in Jesus or your life in yourself, your choice of yourself, essentially. And what we do or not do informs that decision, right? So denying doesn't necessarily mean doing all sorts of horrible things, by the way. Shame shows itself through silence. Let me say that one again because I think that's really good. Shame shows itself through silence. We can deny Jesus by just going with the flow, by not speaking up, by not speaking out for things we know are right. You can't do that. Shame shows itself through silence. Secondly, you can identify with Jesus or you can choose shame by choosing to stand with others who follow him, right? Paul is this guy. Timothy's going to have to choose Paul, right? The people we associate reflects on us and everybody loves approval. I got it. I understand that, but be careful where you seek it. Look at your relationships in your life and you're saying, do I want this relationship or need it because I feel good when I'm around this person? That means you're seeking their approval. Don't do that. Don't do that. I guarantee you that every person you seek your approval in will let you down. You say, man, that's harsh, Pastor. Well, that's reality, people. I'm going to tell you that right now. Somebody you put your approval in, your need for approval in, is going to fail you. And then what are you left with? You're left with shame. And so Paul's saying, don't choose that. He's saying, you got to choose to support me. Only because I know what I stand for is right. Not because I'm just perfect, but because I know what I stand for is right. We have to be careful. We have not, don't avoid people who are controversial because they're taking a bold stand for Jesus. All right, let me say that. Third, you got to identify with Jesus by identifying with his message. How we live, if we refrain from living and telling others about the gospel of Christ, we're choosing shame. Bottom line. Those are the things. And this choice is hard because it's not cut and dry. Because we all struggle with approval. We all struggle with acceptance. Religions all over the world have this system in place for you to earn approval by the system, by the God or gods or whatever the case is in that system. Christianity alone puts all the work back on God. Alone. That's the only one. I guarantee it. You can look it up. Research. Do the work. Right? What God does is says, I know you're broken. I'm going to fix you. Me. I will fix you. Right? And I'm going to give you that gift. Through the cross, I'm going to repair all the broken things. I'm going to set things right, and I'm going to give that gift away to you. Now, that grace is the stumbling block. Huge stumbling block, because you get to the point where you have to admit absolute need, and nobody wants to do that. One of the things that I find hardest here in Pownell is I ask somebody, how can I pray for you? Or even if I let them know I'm praying for them, and I'll have people say, oh, you don't have to worry about that, or thank you, but it's really all right, we downplay it. Because I think part of it comes down to insecurities. We don't want to admit absolute need in our life. We don't. We want to continue to say, there's at least a small part of me that has this. I might not get all of it. I can't get it all together. But there's a small piece of me that I'm clinging to, because if I let this go, that means I don't have it. And if I don't have it, then I'm going to just completely fall apart. And what Christianity says, what Jesus followers say, what the Bible says when you come to the point of the cross is, no, you don't. You don't have it all together. And you have to rely on completely, unashamedly, grace and mercy from God the Father. That's it. That's all we got through Jesus Christ, his Son. Which is why Paul lays this out in verses 9 and 10. He says this. He says, let me go back to verse 8 because I want to tag it on here. He says, don't be ashamed. Share in suffering by the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, that's what I just said, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. God knew where you were going to be as you're sitting here right now and knowing how much grace he needed to give you in Christ Jesus, right? And which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In other words, be steadfast. Stoke up the fire of faith. Don't choose shame. Share in the suffering together. For we're already among those who've overcome death in Jesus, right? So despite what culture around us believes and practices, we know the truth. And the fear of dishonor, disapproval, or even death shouldn't shake us. Paul goes on to say that if Timothy has any more doubts, look at Paul's life. Again, 11 and 12, here we go. He says, This is the gospel. God does it for us. He gives it to us in Christ Jesus. We have to live it out. For which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer. But I am not ashamed. I'm suffering. I'm in prison. I'm about to be killed for what I believe. But I still am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I love this line. This is one of my favorite lines in all the Bible. I'm not ashamed. How? Why? How can you not be ashamed, Paul? Because I know who I believe. I know for a fact who I believe. And I'm convinced, dead set certain that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Paul says, you have a choice to make to be ashamed of Jesus or not, but I've already made mine. I'm already made mine. I'm standing here at the end of the line, and I know I can look back at life and I can say I lived it to the fullest because I've lived it for Jesus, even if it leads to my death. In our information overloaded world, it can be really easy to be pulled under the current by competing ideologies. Right? There can be so much that sounds like the truth that it can be so hard to know what to believe. That's very hard. And you can get fooled into thinking, it doesn't really matter. Believe what you want when you want to believe it. Here's the problem with that. Action flows from identity. Action flows from belief. What you know or who you know, in our case, not only becomes a core part of who you are, but how and why you act the way you do. It's unavoidable. Paul's trust in Jesus and proclamation of that truth to others led to him being beaten, experiencing loneliness, abandonment, imprisonment, hunger, shipwreck, violence, criticism, misunderstanding, rejection. It led to all those horrible things, and yet he says, I don't have faith in my ability to overcome these in the end, but I do have faith in God. I'm not ashamed of being on death row for following and telling others about Jesus. Bring it on suffering. Bring on even death, because I know the author of life. I know the one who's conquered death. And I know in whom I trust. I'm convinced, I'm certain that he is able to fulfill every promise he has made to me. He wasn't self-confident. He was God-confident. And at the end of the journey, he tells Timothy, he says, you got a ways to go. I'm at the end. You got a ways to go. Learn from me. 2 Timothy 13:14, his last two we do, and I know, bear with me. Here we go. He says, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. In other words, let what you learn from me serve as a model for sound teaching, but don't just know it. It's not an intellectual thought that you keep it rolling around in your head. It's something you live out through faith and love in every facet of your life, and give it away without shame, knowing that the God you trust has got you each step of the way. That's what Paul's saying here. So if you're here today, we have a choice to make. Go with the flow, or swim upstream. And if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, our church is here for you. Now, by believer, say, what does that mean? I believe in lots of different things. If you've never made a profession of faith in Jesus and saying, man, I know I've been raised, maybe my parents have taught me some things, or maybe I just kind of picked it up from people and things in my life, or maybe I went to church one time back when, or whatever the case is. But all that, it affects you, but what it does is it gives you to this moment, brings you to this moment right here where you have a choice to make. And saying, am I going to choose my way and kind of piece things together? Or am I going to choose to follow Jesus, the one who lived, died, and rose again for me, who gives me a spirit of power, of love, of self-control, not of fear, not of timidity, who has conquered death so I don't have to live in fear of death, so I can say my last words can be, you know, thank you, Jesus, other than, that's the difference. That's the difference. It comes down to the decision that we all have to make. And so if you're ready to make that decision, it starts by saying, man, I'm screwed. I've screwed things up. Right? The good news of Jesus, that he saves us, is that he saves us from ourselves because we're messed up people. There's none of us here that are perfect. There's all of us who are flawed. There are all of us who have made bad choices, made self-centered choices. I will guarantee it because I've seen it and I've done it myself. And what Jesus does, he says, you're not living your life for you anymore. I'm going to redeem you from yourself, from the mess you've made, and I'm going to make you new. You're not going to make yourself new. I'm going to make you new one day at a time, one moment at a time, one experience at a time. and you're going to rely on me from here on out. And I, unlike yourself and unlike those you seek approval from, I will not let you down. Ever. That's the certainty and promise we have. That's the promise Paul had. That's the promise he passed on to Timothy. That's the decision we have to make today. So if you're here this morning and you're ready to make that decision, we're going to give you that chance. If you're not, though, saying, man, I don't know about that. You know, Pastor Jay, you're up here talking a whole lot of stuff, and I'm not quite sure where I stand with that. I don't know about this Jesus thing. You know, I've got some other beliefs that I'm trying to unpack and trying to work through, and I don't know what I believe and not believe. That's okay. That's all right. Okay? I don't want you to come here and think, oh man, that's only for these Jesus crazy following people. Yeah, there's some crazy Jesus following people up in this place. I'm chief crazy Jesus follower, right? But what we are people working through faith together. And faith is building trust, which means asking and answering questions, which means leaning in. So if you're like, I don't know, great. Stick with it. Stick with us. Do it in a community of people who aren't afraid to ask and answer questions of the other, who aren't even afraid to tell you, I'm not quite sure about that, but I'll do my best to find out, and let's talk about it later. That's what we're here to do. So if that's you, stick with us, all right? As I wrap this up, let's talk really like 5 seconds to believers. If you're like me, sometimes you're tired of swimming upstream. Anybody here, 98, you're the 1%ers in Battle of Vermont anyway. You're the 1%. Anybody here get tired of swimming upstream? If you're not, stick around, right? You're going to get tired of swimming upstream because it is not easy. And some days you're feeling like you're pulled under. You're going to be like me, and you're going to think, I got this, and you're going to start pushing your way upstream, and you're going to be like, no, I don't got this, as you're falling down, about to drown, right? And so it can be that, and you can be tired of swimming upstream. It wears you out when you have coworkers, family, friends, all doing and saying one thing, and you're attempting to do and say something completely different. It's just beat you down. And there can be days when I want to give up. So here's where I'm reminded, and I'm reminding you, that swimming upstream, choosing to proclaim Jesus instead of being ashamed of him, living out this calling isn't about effort, it's about trust. It's not about effort, it's about trust. You see, he's the rock. He's that rock that Zeke was standing on in the middle of the river that day. He's the one that's immovable, the one that we can cling to, that the water is not going to push out of the way. So remember your faith. Remember that faith that someone maybe has passed on to you, and don't be discouraged by the pushback, but be encouraged that by knowing that if you're feeling people and things trying to push you backwards, know you're headed in the right direction. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just praise you and thank you for what you've done here today. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for this heartfelt letter that you poured out, God, to Timothy, from Paul to Timothy, Lord, that your words were written and not just Paul's alone. That, God, this speaks to us because it is you speaking to us this morning and saying, fan into flame that gift you've provided for us, Lord. God, I pray for those who may be here who are making decisions this morning. Lord, those who are sitting here and saying, man, I don't know about this Jesus thing, but I am ready to try something different. I'm ready to start swimming a different direction because the way I'm going is leading me down a path I'm afraid that's going to make some bad effects to my kids after, and all the people around me. So I'm ready to make that decision. And Lord, I just pray blessings over them. God, I pray, Lord, that as they're calling out right now to you, Lord, that I know you're faithful to forgive them for all the things that they have done, because we're all been there. Lord, we all need daily forgiveness. And Lord, you are calling them right now to live a different life, to start swimming a different direction, to rely and trust on you above all things and not themselves or not anyone else, just you, to lay it all out to you and say, I want you above all. Let me learn, let me follow, let me chase after you and see my life live differently than ever before. God, we praise you for those who are making that decision right now. We praise you for those who are swimming a different direction right now than they were before. And God, we praise you, Lord, for the believers that are here and those watching online, God, that today you've called us to fan into flame that spirit that is inside of us, that you don't leave us alone, that you don't leave us forsaken, that we may be timid, we may be quiet, we may be unsure, we may say, I don't know about telling others about Jesus. I don't know about even living it for my own life, man. Sometimes I'm tired, Lord. But God, today you're saying, I am for you and not against you. you. I give you a spirit of love and a power and self-control. God, just dynamite, blow it out of the way, power, God. So right now, Lord, I pray that you continue to press in on us. God, remind us right here, right now, that we don't live in fear, that we live in choices that are not made in shame, that we're not seeking approval from our spouses, from our friends, from our family, from anything else. God, we're leaning in on the approval that we've received from you, Jesus. God, and today we trust you. We believe you. We will live for you like never before. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much, church, for being with us this morning. Again, spending your time. I went way long, guys. I promise you, I'm going to encourage these next speakers for the next 3 weeks after me. We're going to condense this sucker. So if you're like, man, I don't want to be here for an hour and a half, guess what? Next week, you're not, right? We're going to be here quick. That's right. Don't blink. I told the kids group last week, our kids teachers, I said, man, you better condense that stuff downstairs, because I'm telling these guys, Jesus' guys, I'm saying that when they get up here, it's going to be, you're going to be getting it. You're going to get one great rousing point. You're going to be able to apply it, and we're going to get out of here and go home, all right? So if you're like, man, Pastor Jason, shut up. I'm about to shut up. But next week, it's not going to be that long, so, all right? Just so you know, it's coming. Thank you for being online with us. Thank you for being here. We love and appreciate you taking your time. Share this post with somebody that maybe need to be encouraged by it, all right? And we can't wait to see you next Sunday at 10 a.m. Wednesdays, there's groups. 6 p.m., there's group time. Hang out with the men or women. And then Thursday, 6:30 for prayer meeting online on Facebook and in person. All these things going on. Don't miss it. We'll see you when we see you next time. Praise God. Thank you.